Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, June 26th. It's actually when we're recording. You're probably not watching this until Saturday, June 27th, though, because we're still a little backed up with work here at the agency. But we're going to get started off like we do every week over on YouTube. YouTube is updating their mobile app to allow users to create 15-second multi-segmented videos in a bid to compete against TikTok. YouTube has seen a dramatic shift in viewing habits, how viewers actually watch the content on YouTube, with now over 100 million users watching YouTube content on their TV devices. If you remember, this was something Google tried to get people to do during the Google TV era with YouTube Lean Back, and it never really took off, but now it's exploding. YouTube also said that watch time on TVs is up 80% so far over last year. Now let's dive in to Google. There's a lot of chatter about a possible Google search algorithm update rolling out right now, but there is no official word from Google if there is actually an algorithm update on the way. Now, Google makes updates all the time, so technically every week when I make a video, I can tell you there's probably been a Google algorithm update, and I would be correct, but this comes as lots of tools show massive fluctuations in rankings and adjustments in the rankings, and lots of webmasters and SEOs are seeing it. Typically, this is what we refer to as SEO chatter. So it seems like the SEO chatter and the search weather, the ranking changes, appear to be pointing to a pretty good algorithm update rolling out over this week so far. Google has added a fact check label to image search results to help debunk images that surface in the search results that might represent a myth or some sort of fake news that has been distributed around the internet. Now, it's not really Google Images' fault. Those fake news images are really popular on social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram, but they do end up making their way to websites like Pinterest and Flickr and places where images are hosted, where Google ends up then crawling them. So they're adding that fact check label so you won't be tricked into believing some crazy thing is actually true when you're just looking for an image to steal for, I don't know, your next slide deck. Google Image Search also now supports claim review and fact check schema markup. Google is rolling out a new advertising product and they're giving it away for free, which is pretty unheard of. Smart campaign advertisers with Google Ads are now getting free promoted pins inside of Google Maps. This is a limited time promotion, obviously probably trying to get people to like those types of ads and see if they want to stick around and pay for them later. If you are a smart campaign advertiser, this will be enabled automatically from what I understand, and then it will turn off automatically. You'll have to enroll and actually set up those promoted pins if you want them to keep going once the promotional period ends. Log into your Google Ads account or talk to your Google Ads consultant about the promoted pins, the free promoted pins going on for smart campaigns. Google My Business is now allowing small businesses to gain donations or sell gift cards directly from their Google My Business profile. And for the uninitiated, that is actually the profile that shows up on Google Maps. It's managed by a totally separate platform called Google My Business. So you can go, you can log in there, you can set up ways for people to buy gift cards from you or donate money directly to your small business. This is just another way Google is trying to help SMBs get through the pandemic. Google My Business has also added 4 brand new attributes, all for online-based services. So if your business offers online care, online appointments, online estimates, or online classes, you can now highlight those on your Google My Business profile. A lot of local SEOs and a lot of small business owners have wondered how Google My Business was going to handle this sudden shift into virtual local services, and it seems like they're still going to require a local business presence, an actual physical local presence, but that you'll be able to offer online services from that physical local presence. And that seems to be the compromise they're making with their rules about temporary office spaces, which they never enforce, and in physical presence, and with the new era of needing and being required to offer these virtual services. Google Maps has added a support local businesses button, and it's pretty sizable and very, very hard to miss. Google is also upgrading Google My Business messaging, trying to make it easier to use and more useful for all the businesses out there. Google has released a new machine learning powered Pinterest competitor called Keen. Some marketers are saying this is going to be the future of referral traffic. Not entirely sure how true that is. It is an Area 120 project, which means it has a high likelihood of being killed off. But if you have some free time and you want to check out the new Google Project Keen, download the app, check it out, see how users might start using it. And if they do, then you'll be ready to use it to get traffic. Google will pay for news in some countries starting very soon. Those countries include Brazil and Australia. There are rumors that this could expand worldwide, and Google may start paying for high-quality content from news websites around the world here very, very soon. The writing has been on the wall. This has been coming for a long time, even though I personally heavily disagree with it. Google has been pressured by so many governments and so many organizations and so many publishers to just start paying the publishers for the news content that they can then aggregate and show to readers and to users of Google. There's no telling what sort of compromise a publisher is going to have to make either. We don't really know much about the program right now. We just know that Google says they want to pay for high quality news content to encourage good journalism. So we'll see what happens. Google has shut down CallJoy, their small business virtual assistant, which only cost about $40 a month and allowed business owners to have the virtual assistant take phone calls and try to route people in the right direction. It was actually a really useful tool, but a lot of small businesses just didn't see the value in it. Now, this was a Google Area 120 project, and you remember just a minute ago I told you about Keen, which is another Area 120 project. These projects do tend to get pretty far into development. They tend to get released widely, and then Google shuts them down. So this wasn't super surprising. I also wouldn't be surprised if companies like CallRail got involved and created their own virtual assistant for small businesses based on the sort of success Google was seeing with CallJoy. It just wasn't enough of success for Google to really expand this out and put a lot of effort behind it. Google has updated their Test My Site tool to include speed metrics to help you understand what's happening on your website. It's a free tool, so check it out. Test My Site. Google Duplex, the artificial intelligence built into Google Assistant, may start calling local businesses to check on inventory and availability here in the very near future. If you remember, Google Duplex is that thing where somebody tells the Duplex, the assistant, that they want to book an appointment at a salon, and the AI just calls the salons, all the salons, figures out which one has the right time for that person's schedule, and then schedules them an appointment at that salon. So it sort of really takes a lot of the heavy lifting out of making a decision for a person is what Duplex's entire goal is. Still no word on how well it's doing. I actually was hoping to get something out of Google, like so many businesses have gotten this many, you know, appointments out of Duplex or something. It'll be interesting to see what happens with all this inventory, and it'll also be interesting to see if businesses even answer the phone and talk to this AI assistant and give it their information. In Facebook news, there is a Facebook ads boycott going on by major brands, including Unilever and Verizon, and also really large agencies. And I don't really want to get into the social or political aspects of it, but I do want to talk to you, fellow marketer, and tell you what this means to you. If you've ever wanted to run Facebook ads, or I don't know, test Facebook ads, right now is the time to jump in. There is so much inventory that is getting freed up by these big, huge mammoth companies deciding to pause their campaigns, that now is a great time for you to see if Facebook ads work for your business. So jump in, start an ad campaign, and see where it goes. That's my recommendation right now. This is not an opportunity that's going to probably come around anytime in the near future on any of the major platforms. This is pretty rare, so I would definitely be taking advantage of it. Facebook has banned the sale of artifacts from, like, antiquity on their website. This is to try to keep people from looting, especially with a lot of unrest going on around the world. We're worried that people are going to kind of loot and steal stuff from museums and then sell it on Facebook. So you cannot sell artifacts on Facebook anymore. In a surprise announcement, Microsoft shut down their Mixer.com platform for game streamers and actually is just sort of giving it to Facebook. They're going to partner with Facebook now, and Mixer.com is suddenly being merged into Facebook Gaming. So if you were a Mixer.com advertiser or you were using that for some sort of organic marketing, you're going to find yourself suddenly using Facebook. Now, Mixer.com still exists, but it's winding down and it'll be shut down completely by next month. I actually have a bit of a stake in this. Most people don't know this, and when I try to tell the story, I'm pretty sure nobody really believes me. But in 2006, I built the very first gamer-only video platform that had cross-video compatibility. The only one that existed before us was game trailers, but you didn't have cross-video compatibility, and it really wasn't for users, it was just to upload trailers to. So we built GamersTube in 2006. Our goal was to actually build a live streaming platform independent just for the gaming community. Twitch accomplished my dream in 2011, a dream I was never able to accomplish. And I was very proud of them and the team over there at Justin.tv that transferred to Twitch.tv. And with Twitch's success, we got Mixer and YouTube Gaming and now Facebook Gaming. A quick side note, Google, by the way, declined to invest in our company because they said YouTube was great, and then now you have YouTube Gaming. So, hey, could have been there years ahead if they had listened to me. I wanted to talk to any gamer out there who happens to watch this video. I'm begging you. If there is an independent platform that comes out, please go to it. Obviously, Facebook is just using Facebook Gaming to get a bunch of social data. That's what they do. YouTube is just using YouTube Gaming to get a ton of ads on there. You've seen it happen. You know I'm not lying. Now you have to watch two ads between so many videos. And then Amazon is obviously probably using Twitch to learn more about products and behaviors that they can sell to young people. I would encourage you, the gaming community, because I know you love independence so much. You love independent developers of games so much, right? We'd have never gotten The Witcher without independent gaming. Think about independent platforms when it comes to videos for gamers. I'm pleading with you, I'm begging with you to break away from these massive monolithic companies that are just using this to try to take all of this data and shove stuff down the throats of gamers. Just a quick aside. Over on Instagram, Instagram announced this week that new advertisers on Instagram will not need a Facebook page moving forward. Instagram appears to be seeing some success with their TikTok clone Reels, and they have expanded it into France and Germany. So that's still pretty limited in scope of who can access Reels, but that is a good sign for them that they're pulling it into other countries. If you're in France or Germany, obviously you may want to experiment with this and check it out. If TikTok's your thing, you might like Reels, and who knows, maybe it'll eventually come here to the U.S. Over on the Snappity Chatty, Snapchat published a trends report this week showcasing all of the trends that have seen growth during the first half of 2020. Snapchat is set to launch their first shoppable ads. So these are ads that you can actually buy product inside of. Those ads are going to run on Snapchat's original programming, and they're all going to be selling streetwear at the very beginning. I do not believe the shoppable ads are a part of the self-serve Snapchat ads platform just yet, but it could be coming soon. So if you're an e-commerce retailer, pay attention to this, especially if you're servicing a young teen or early 20s age group. You may end up finding lots of success with the Snapchat shoppable ads. Over on TikTok, TikTok, which, reminder, is owned by China, has announced that they will quit spying on clipboard content on iPhones after Apple's new privacy feature revealed the activity. And if you missed that, essentially TikTok has the ability to look at anything you've copied to your clipboard. Text, screenshots, photos, etc. They can look through it and send that back to their database back in China. So pretty huge privacy issue. I don't actually know why this hasn't blown up and been a bigger deal, but I thought it was a huge deal. TikTok says now, oh yeah, we're going to quit doing that. But they only said they're going to stop doing it on iPhones, which I thought was really interesting. So if you use TikTok on an Android, just know that they're probably spying on everything that you have on your clipboard on Android. TikTok's advertising juggernaut is not slowing down. It appears to be picking up pace. They have released a self-serve platform. So if you are not a TikTok advertiser using insertion orders already, you can now actually go build and buy your own ads using the TikTok self-serve advertising platform. That brings them on par with Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and Snapchat and Reddit, other websites that have their own massive audience but also have their own advertising self-serve platform. Over on Twitter, Twitter had a data breach this week. It's not entirely clear if anybody actually stole any information, but they discovered that the Twitter ads system was actually storing credit card information and other private sensitive information inside of the browser cache. So anybody who had access to that browser cache or could snoop it was able to pull that credit card information and that personal information out there. You may want to check your credit cards if you're running Twitter ads right now, and you may want to keep a really close eye on them moving forward, or maybe just change the card numbers as a precaution just in case. Bonus round! A new report says that online grocery sales hit $5.3 billion in April, and as a whole in the industry, they're expected to grow 40% this year over last year. Now might be an incredibly good time to get into the online grocery business if you haven't already. A former Google employee, and actually former head of Google's advertising business, is launching a new search engine to rival Google called Neva. Their search engine will be powered by Bing, and it'll also be an assistant, and it'll be subscription-based, so no advertising. If you don't like advertising, which by the way, run on DuckDuckGo and other search engines, you may want to give Neva a look. It isn't completely out yet. I believe they're in pre-launch right now. Go check out Neva, N-E-E-V-A. Finally this week, Apple announced that they would automatically start blocking Google Analytics tracking cookies inside future versions of the Safari browser. A few hours later, DuckDuckGo took to Twitter to announce that they were actually powering this feature. And to me, it sounded like they were going to be blocking all of the traffic, all of the data collection by Google Analytics. In reality, it looks like they're only going to be blocking third-party cookies, which would just mean that Google isn't able to use that data and track that data across the web. So you, as a website owner, your first-party cookie should be fine. You should still be able to track all of your information, all of the data on your users to be able to understand them. Anybody out there who doesn't understand this, please realize this is anonymized private information. We don't know anything about you. Just know that you visited the website and some pages, and you did some stuff, and then that helps us figure out how to make our websites better for other people in the future, including yourself. So that's what that drama was about this week, if you heard about it. So Apple is going to block automatically Google Analytics, but it looks like they're going to only block third-party cookies in Google Analytics, not first-party cookies, so your tracking should be intact. Now that comes from independent researchers. Apple and DuckDuckGo didn't actually tell us all of the details. So DuckDuckGo, I do apologize to you. I know I tore into you on Twitter. I do apologize to you for being so harsh and assuming that this is what you meant because you didn't really clarify. Apple, I don't think you deserve any apology. I don't know why you thought it was a great idea to announce something like this that would impact such a massive portion of the internet without actually telling everyone on the internet and all of these website owners exactly what this means and exactly what you're doing. So hopefully we get more information from either Apple or DuckDuckGo in the near future. And if we do, I'll bring it to you here on the show. That's it for the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far podcast edition for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please head on over to the website, joeyoungblood.com, and send me a message. I would love to hear from you. I'll talk to you next week.